Hello, I'm doing the intro today, it looks like. Hello, welcome to another episode of Radio Melee. The magnanimous and powerful Toph and I are joined today by none other than Coney. If you somehow don't know who Coney is, he's a big time, he's doing really well with content creation and a lot of other things I'm sure he's going to educate us on today. I believe you also do commentary, correct me if I'm wrong anywhere. And I think what my hope is when I floated the idea for Coney to come on the show was, you know, to bring in the idea for talking about content, talking about what maybe the two communities can learn from each other and all sorts of things. So welcome to the show, Coney. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks. I adjusted my cam a little bit because I came in like a titan. I was like, for some reason, I was 30 feet tall. But no, thank you for that. That very generous intro. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Toph hit me up and he was like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? I was like, oh, hell yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited to talk with you guys.
We should have done this sooner. We should have gotten, I don't think we've gotten, we tend to stay, you know, we have a formula where we tend to stick to where we bring in people. Let's say someone does really well at like a Melee tournament. We try to bring them on or if something's going on. But sure. For some reason, we haven't hit up too many Smash Ultimate people, even though I really feel like there's a lot of just really cool discussion that comes out of having more crossover. We used to do a lot of streams together, and hopefully we can kind of bring those back once I get my new camera and start streaming again. But yeah. Good to have you on for sure. And yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like for me, I mean, I've talked about many times on the show how like I played a good amount of Smash Ultimate actually. Like I went to my weekly for like a year, like mm-hmm. year and a half. I basically, the thing that got me to stop playing was basically COVID because everything moved online. And, you know, things were kind of dead in 2020, but then they picked up. And I definitely still watch a lot. So hopefully some of that stuff comes up. And before we get into, the meat and potatoes, I'd like to remind everybody in chat and whatnot. Again, it's !! Radio Melee in chat. We've already got some questions coming in. We'll try to get to as many as possible. But yeah, use !! Radio Melee, jump in the Discord server. And you can talk to us live on air and ask us about literally anything. It could be Smash related or it could be nonsensical. So hope to hear from some of you wild people out there today.
Anything at all. Nothing's off limits. No, I remember you were pretty involved in Ultimate in the beginning. And I remember watching you a lot because I was on the Inkling train too. Although I did know they would be worse. I think I remember you believing a little bit more in Inkling than I did. I was a little bit more.
No. I think
had the Armada bias. I was like, Armada's just really good. That's all that is.
I had the problem. I actually had what is called hopium.
You were huffing it. I feel that.
I was huffing it. I think the thing is you need to tell yourself what you need to tell yourself in life, you know, whatever gets you out of bed in the morning. And that was what was getting me out of bed in the morning. But, you know, I think time proved you right. Right. I would say
it always does. Yeah. You bought into the illusion of happiness and I have been down in the depths of despair for much a long time. I always pick the mid tiers that eventually get worse over time, but you know what's crazy? This is something, and maybe this is like veering off into a crazy topic right away. Always been interested in Melee and playing it. My problem is, and I would love to ask you guys about this. Yeah. I can't find a character because I'm like, I think I always just go to Puff, right? Because I'm not a technical guy. I'm low input, just try to go for, you know, the low execution, but high sort of conditioning. Value. Yeah. High value on stuff. The problem is that I think in the year 2023, and this is just my perception, I don't know if this is, I tried to play Slippy for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think people are so good. Puff has to play defensively. You just have to. Mm-hmm. You're going to die at 60 or 70. But that said, I've now had another, now I'm on the hopium, right? Because I've seen another character rise up who is very grapply. And is very high value, and I think he is pretty technical. You know where I'm going with this.
There's no way.
I'm thinking about it, but I feel like he's so hard to play. Right? I'm talking about Donkey Kong, in case you guys don't know.
Of course we're talking about Donkey Kong. Yep.
The only character in Melee at this point.
Yeah. He's the only one anybody talks about. I think I'm enraptured by Junebug, who's one of my good friends. I love Junebug, and I'm like, how is he doing it? Is there any world where a guy can come in this late in Melee and just learn DK? Does that exist? Be honest.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always say that I think it depends on what your goals are, because like people use the
not word, top eight major.
Word.
Yeah,
exactly. People use this word viable, or like, is so-and-so viable? And I'm like, I mean, Zane was basically ranked top 20. He would have been ranked top 20 in the world solo maining Roy with his Roy results in 2020 and 2021.
Sure.
Is Roy viable? It depends what you mean by viable. Roy is pretty bad. Roy's worse than Donkey Kong for sure. Can someone come in? I mean, you have a PM background, I know. And so you're already starting off on, I would say, you know, you've got a foothold to work off of that I think a lot of people who are coming in, I mean, people are getting so good so fast these days that I have no idea who the hell they are. So I would say, yeah, absolutely, it's possible. I think Donkey Kong is the kind of character where he is hard to play and easy to play. He's hard to play in that, you know, you've got some glaring weaknesses, and I think you need to be disciplined in a weird way because, you know, you have to, like, you have a game plan, which is you hit really hard, so you got to learn how to use, you know, the cargo throws and stuff like that. But he has a ridiculous punish game against basically all the top tiers. Yeah. I feel like he's a character that can always win. It's the best part about Donkey Kong. You can always lose. Sure. You know, you run into someone who just plays the matchup really well, you can always lose. But as people like Junebug, and actually a lot of people these days are showing us, you can kind of always win. And I feel like for something like someone like you, that's probably kind of what you're looking for, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's funny because at the end of Smash 4, I realized that I didn't really like Smash 4, but like I have Smash Brain, even if I don't like the game. So I picked up Lucario. Because I was like, all right, I'm not as good as you, but I know when you roll. Like, I know your habits, so I'm just going to condition you. I'm going to kill you at 20 with a forward smash. And, like, I did pretty well with it. Not crazy, but, like, I think that's more my thing. And I feel like DK, like you said, with the explosiveness of, like, what he can do quickly. Like, I used to have sets with, there's a Falco player that came from Melee in PM, and we would have sets. And he would knock me up to 200 before he would kill me, but then I would kill him at 30 with a Wario back throw. Because, like, he was very good on stage, but it was all, like, all aim, no brain. You know what I mean? So, I feel like there's a lot of that in like, the top tiers in Melee at the low level, right? Like, people just, they practice their sort of one-dimensional Falco or Fox gameplay. And with Falco, it's even worse, right? It's lasers, like, that's all it is.
I think the thing about it, too, is I feel like there's a mental edge that you can have with DK because, okay, here's the thing. Maybe a parallel that I think a parallel that I can draw, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I'm thinking, like, when someone has to fight Hungrybox in Ultimate, and it's like, this is Hungrybox, the content creator, who's not playing a top tier, but, like, he could do some stuff. I feel like the Coney Donkey Kong Melee is the Hungrybox Jigglypuff Smash.
People would be humiliated.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, like I saw at Maestuma, people are Hungrybox going to get 65th or is he going to get... Like, you're not going to get much further probably.
No, no question.
65th, but like you might take out someone who's pretty damn good along the way and it would be hype. And I feel like that parallel could totally exist.
I can see a threat there. Yeah, I was just gonna bring up Da, and now I see him in the chat now. So of this, I'm big fan. I watched that whole documentary. Did you guys see the one that went up on YouTube?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. It's so good.
It is really good.
Fantastic.
And Da, it's good you know about him because that guy, if you see him on Twitter, he's always posting a ton of innovations and ways to move around. And some of them are pretty technical, but I imagine some of them can be worked in more easily to mitigate some weaknesses. And since you watched it, you know that there are, you know, a lot of DKs that are like, well, I'm still waiting for someone to really come in and invalidate my character. Haven't really seen it yet. I know, like, we did that. I mean, however you feel about it, there are at least some that are kind of even saying that at this point. Now, you know, that's not going to change the fact that, you know, when you're starting out, Falco Laser is going to be a real pain in the butt because you're a huge character, so it's going to be hard to avoid. And I'm sure Da has, you know, five, you know, Google Docs written about that already. But you could look at it that way. And I think you can still make some aggression work with Puff. We had Toussaint on the program, I think, a year or so ago. And what he was talking about, he was saying, well, you can, there are times where you have to be defensive, and then you can use that information to start going in and attacking. So I don't know what your ratio of preference is. DK is also going to have time where he's just got to hang back, because he's also kind of like Puff, got to use his back air, got to back off a little bit. But then he can explode a little bit more than Puff, and he can, you know, do a longer combo game. So it's going to be about what you tolerate, maybe, or how you really prefer. But yeah, like Tove said, there is an interesting parallel there. Huge content off your DK wins. I think it's prime time for the monkey.
It would be funny. It would be very funny.
Be very funny.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Also, I saw the chat. Sorry, I didn't know they them. So sorry, Da.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about DK is like calling me. Something about that character is so. And it's because it's like the soul of the game. I don't know. I was actually curious, PP, on your end, like as somebody who sort of has taken more of a backseat in terms of competition and going to all the big stuff. When you see a character sort of blossom out of nowhere like this, what's your thought? Or do you sit back and you're like, oh, that's not real. That's not like, is that really like, is there a part of you that's like, these guys are messing this up? I would slam these DKs.
Some of it's going to depend on specifics, right? Like, okay. What, like, for example, like when people are talking about Mewtwo coming up, that's another one that had some discussion, not as much as DK, but a little bit in the past year. Toph and I actually had a discussion about Mewtwo Samus last week, and I went and looked at it a little bit, and I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought. Like, can't Samus just hold down and down smash whatever Mewtwo does? Turns out the answer is no. So I thought that was interesting. DK, you know, it's like, so if I see a specific thing and I see an answer, I'm like, okay, well, that you can't argue with that, right?
Sure.
Of course, at first, yeah, I'm going to be like, all right, well, what's really going on here? Are we just trying to take our DKs from like 256th place to like 65th or something? Like, okay, yay, but like, what, you know, like,
that doesn't
what's
mean
really
anything.
Happening? Yeah, what's yeah, really yeah. happening here? And that's still cool. It's still an exciting thing, but you know, what's really happening? And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play a couple of these higher level DKs. I've played Akira a few times, and I've actually noticed that his gameplay has evolved very rapidly in the past few months. And so I've been fortunate enough to experience it a little bit. And I'm like, OK, well, this is a little different than what I thought. And so I have that experience. And so I hope usually to get to where I'm at and where I got and everything, like I try to be as receptive as I can to what's going on. So I'm going to be skeptical at first. Be like, okay, well, how is DK really going to handle this? How can he approach if he's always got to have his back to you? Like, he can only go so far. Well, there are a lot of answers to that question that are really interesting. You know, what do we do about Falco Laser? Turns out there are some interesting answers to that question. So as I see the specifics, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I have to reevaluate this a little bit. And you know, playing against it, it's a little bit different than seeing it too. So there is an aspect on my end of skepticism, but you know, I try to see some questions, and I saw some of Da's work, and I think it's always really interesting. So shout outs to them. And yeah, so I'm not like DK is high tier yet. I think maybe some DKs are maybe even like, well, I don't know, what's the counter to a lot of stuff, you know? So but I'm not there. I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's somewhere in mid tier, and we'll, you know, we'll iron out the specifics as we go along, as counterplay to DK stuff comes out.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that I sort of get what DK's doing at like a low, not low level, but like a casual level, in terms of like, I understand melee. I see what I know what I'm looking at. He gets the up throw and he gets like 8 up airs. And I've seen that in a couple different games, right? I play PM. but it's like, I know that I'm going to have trouble with the rhythm of the game, because Jigglypuff is easy to me. She's like comfort food. But as like, I'm coming into a very optimized game, and like, I'm still trying to be aggressive. I haven't gotten it beat out of me yet. You know what I mean?
It's like, you can still do it. You just the way you've got to do it is
better though. Like, a lot better.
Sometimes,
right?
I mean, it's you can't. A lot of melee players run into this problem, actually. So this is cool you bring this up. I think a lot of people, even Spaceys, are like, well, why can't I just run forward at them? And I mean, not even Mango's doing that, right? Like, whoever, you know, whoever is considered aggressive is doing that. Like, you have times where you're going to do it, and then you have, you know, Mango simplifies it a lot. So maybe he's a decent example here, where, you know, there's like, he will run indirectly, but sometimes he'll do a dash back and then run directly in. And he understands the depth of that. And he understands the depth of that simple mix up enough to where he can do that and maybe a little bit more, change how he approaches when he does either of those, and the spacing and timing how he does either of those. And it drastically gives him more options. So in the same way, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, and you don't have to, like, you're not playing against people necessarily with like 500 years of experience every game of unranked. Like, some of these people are going to be newer too. So you are where you are, and they'll be where they'll be, and you know, find out where you can do that. And again, I think one of the most useful things, actually, because I keep seeing this in a lot of Dawes clips and some other clips that people are posting, is if you can use your punch and then turn around in the air, so you run forward and you have the momentum of jumping forward, and then you do your punch and you'll turn around, you cancel that, and then you can back air, you can now have your momentum going forward. So I think getting that down is going to open you up, because then you can get a back air and turn, and then dash in and grab. And I think there's a lot of openings that come from that, playing on platforms and doing that sort of stuff, a lot of that, shield dropping and doing that, a lot of that. So if you get that down, I think there's more options. And so I think learning the options and then learning kind of what they want to do, like, it'll let you do more of what you want. So again, I think Melee is a cool game. It's not a hyper aggro game like some people want it to be, but you can play on a more aggressive end.
Sure. Yeah, it's true. I feel like the thing about it is, like, you know, I think people look at let's say Mango or whatever, right? And they're like, oh my god, he's playing so aggressively, like, why doesn't it work when I do it? And I think people mistake, like, aggression for, like, just being predictable. Sure. And they're approaching the same way every time. And maybe they're not, like, you know, they attack the opponent, but then the opponent dash dance grabs them. And they're like, oh, well, the opponent's just dash dance grabbing me. And then they don't put two and two together and start to say, okay, well, how do I approach in a way that beats that? You know, maybe you overshoot. Maybe you attack the place that they're dashing back to. You know, so you hit them there. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you kind of, I mean, the thing about being aggressive in general is, like, you're basically saying, okay, well, then I'm seeking to engage with the opponent.
You're presenting a puzzle that is to be solved.
Right.
Like, yeah.
You're putting out threats. And this is a big thing where you don't have to actually attack. You don't have to, like, push in and press a button to be aggressive. If you push towards someone, you're still being aggressive, right? And I'm sure, like, you know, you've seen a lot of high level play, you're aware of this, and it comes out in a lot of games. And so I think in Melee you just have the movement options to do that. You'll just be using platforms and then, you know, acting like you're going to shield drop and then attack them or not. And there's, like, a lot of other ways to do that, or, like, attacking from the top platform at that diagonal as opposed to just running at them. So I think there are more ways to do it, but I don't think that means you can't. And you know, I think in a world where people have optimized crouch cancel so much, there is that concern, like, okay, well, there is so much counterplay. But, you know, I think DK, especially, you know, if you're spacing your back here pretty well, I think it's going to be pretty hard to play around that, at least.
Sure. I'm just so, like, because I did play Puff for a little bit, and I was like, all right, well, if I don't get this edge guard, I'm dying to grab it, you know, what, 50, 60, 70? Yeah, I mean, it's the up throw up air. And obviously you can SDI it, but I haven't gotten that down yet. So it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe I'll try it a little bit. I got, my other problem is tap jump, which everybody says, I know it's so scrubby, but it's like, I always say that my Jigglypuff has two jumps. It's the normal amount of jumps, because I just, she just uses them all right away, because I try to go for an up air and then boop, boop, boop. So I love playing the game. I actually got the bug when I went to Summit, and I played with Cheat and some other people, Yingling. Oh, I played with a couple people, and dude, it's so fun. It's so responsive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what people like about it. And especially, like, yeah, these days, like, even playing on Slippy, it, like, feels the same. Like, really.
Right.
Unless you're playing someone where, like, the connection's really bad or something.
Right.
I feel you, though, and I think it's cool talking about, like, characters and, you know, you mentioned earlier, you were talking about, like, Inkling and Ultimate, and it's funny, like, you know, kind of the difference in how to approach, like, character philosophy is funny, because you were kind of saying, like, you know, I was kind of trying to make the character work, even as, you know, subsequent tier lists are coming out and the character's kind of steadily moving down. And I think, like, the Melee mindset for a lot of Melee players is, you know, in Melee, you kind of, because characters have a lot of depth, I think. So you kind of, like, usually the way you kind of improve, usually for most Melee players, is you figure out who you want to main. And it's kind of like vertical investment. You know, you get really good with your character, and you can kind of branch out later. People like Pee Pee, who picked up Marth very late in his career. But most people get good with one, maybe two characters. Versus, you know, I would say that probably in a game like Ultimate, I probably should have switched sooner. You know, like, I think a lot of top players
definitely
will play multiple characters, you know, for different matchups. And it's just kind of different, which is, it doesn't have to be the case. You know, you do have people who solo main, but it's, yeah, definitely rarer.
No, you're right. Do either of you guys play League of Legends?
No,
I don't. Maybe okay. I should.
I'm trying to think of
Valorant games like that, but
oh, maybe Overwatch is a good comparison. I'm trying to find an example, but like I think the difference is in Melee, the roster is kind of lean, and every character does their thing, and obviously you have some overlap with like Fox and Falco, but they play very differently in practice, right?
Right.
But the interesting thing about Ultimate is that because there are so many characters, there's pretty strong overlaps. Like, a lot of people give me flack because I draw a lot of comparisons between like Fox and Greninja, but they kind of do a lot of the same things. They're these super agile, rush down sort of characters that have a lot of trouble killing, rely on very specific kill setups, and the stocks go deep if they can't land them. They'll start just eating grabs. They'll only be able to get grabs, and it's like, that's the first thing that came to my head. They're not that similar, but I think because the roster is 90 characters, it's like, why would I ever play why would I play Marth ever? You have Lucina if you want more reliability. You have Cloud if you want more range. You have Pyramithra if you want a more sort of basic flowchart. It's like, because of the wide breadth of characters, it's like, when it comes to Inkling, their whole thing was like, they do damage really quickly, but they can't kill. It's like, you could do that with a bunch of characters. But what's interesting in Melee, it's like, there's not really, I don't know. I don't think there's that same level of overlap. Peach doesn't play.
Yeah, there's less direct overlap between characters. Yeah.
And I think in Ultimate, it's like the characters that you see, because we still do see some characters come up like late. Like Incineroar has this big comeback right now because of Skyjay. Mm-hmm. But Incineroar doesn't play like anybody else. So he has his own unique skill set that Skyjay is honing to a science. And I think that's what you see later on in the game. Like DK has this big resurgence. I mean, Yoshi, right? Jesus Christ, that's some dark esoteric text, right? It's a dark art. And even Axe, I mean, with Pikachu and Swift, it's like those characters really have potential because they are so specialized, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess the only, like, in terms of, like, overlap and function like that, I think you kind of already said it. I think the only characters where that really comes to mind are, like, Fox and Falco, where they're kind of good and bad against the same characters, so to speak. They're kind of good in the same situations and bad in the same situations. They mostly have the same strengths and weaknesses, even though, like you said, in practice, they kind of play differently.
I think just one having a spike changes stuff dramatically, right? But it's kind of the same, I would imagine. I mean, you guys are the experts, so.
No, I think it's a good comparison, and I actually think this crosstalk about how the games work differently is really interesting. And I want to make sure we get to our callers. And of course, I want to be respectful of your time. Yeah. So just one other thing real quick.
I didn't even notice what time it was. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been fun talk so far.
I love talking about this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. Well, actually, you know what? Instead of giving my spiel on whatever, we might just get some of it out with the caller. So maybe we'll just do that. And we'll just transition really quickly before we do to our community voice. We had Moki on last week, and Moki was talking about hobbies, best hobbies to have if you for a Melee player, Smash player, whoever.
Yeah,
and we got some comments coming in on that. We have
in a world where sometimes these pro Smash players aren't known for doing things that aren't Smash, right? Sure. Moki. Not perpetuating harmful stereotypes of not being able to drive, as we talked about.
So, I was going to bring it up if you weren't.
Right. I mean, someone had to do it. So, hopefully, hey, what are things you can do? Are you a top 20 Smash player that's a little bit one-dimensional and, you're not sure what you're going to do with your life after Smash? Well, here are the answers for you.
Void just got a car, by the way, is able to drive. So it's not just Melee, Void. So W Void.
Hey, congratulations.
That's a huge dub. Kay the Guitar Dude, as a musician who's been playing guitar for almost 20 years at this point, I think, his name's Kay the Guitar Dude.
Right.
improvement process, honestly, pretty similar. When you pick up a new instrument, you feel like you absolutely suck, and you don't, I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but maybe I should read some of it for our audio listeners. Much like Melee, the ceiling for how good you can be at an instrument is basically limitless, and when you nail a sick riff, it's the same feeling of euphoria you get from nailing a sick combo. Highly recommend anyone. I played piano as a kid, and I'm trying to get back into it. And it's actually like a pretty similar improvement curve. in terms of it's just a one player game instead of a two player game. But you know, in that aspect, it's very non, in all the ways that Smash can be, you know, anxiety inducing because it's competitive. You know, it's like learning an instrument really isn't, because you know you're not trying to beat anybody, or maybe you are. I don't know. But yeah, it's great. It's a really cool. It's definitely a really cool pastime for sure.
Yeah, and you know, something that's always been pretty interesting too is I think it can really help your Smash game. I think a lot of it helps you with your tech. It helps you, and I think rhythm is a really important part of the game. And I think there's an interesting overlap between people who have done more music and people that can do well in Melee. It's been noted some in the past, and so I encourage people to check this out if they have the chance.
J-Mook is a sick guitarist, right?
That's true.
Dude, I was so... I'll just say it. I was so pissed when he like won, or I guess this is when he got second at Genesis or whatever, and he like started streaming, because it's like, okay, you're this good, you should probably start streaming and like, you know, see what you can do with it, right? And then I go to a stream like the next Wednesday or whatever, and he's just like playing like some beautiful song on the guitar, and I'm like, this fucking guy.
He's so handsome.
He's
and talented.
Just got it all, dude. I hate him.
Yeah, it always sucks when you like he's like an 8, a 9 out of 10 and everything. You're like, all right, but I bet he's an asshole, right? And he's not. He's sweet and nice. It's like,
I know.
Oh my god. Like, come on, dude. Like, I had a very brief talk with him after he either won Genesis or he got second. I can't remember which one it was. But I had a brief talk with him. I was like, dude, you're sick. He's like, thanks. And we talked for a little bit at Guildhouse. He was really sweet. He was a really nice guy. He was great.
Yeah.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Good
so he was, and he was probably pretty drunk if you talked to him at Guildhouse.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, well, hey, if you're nice as a drunk, then you're probably just, that's probably just your true,
it's your
character.
True self.
So you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. DSC saying Kendama. And for those of you who don't know what Kendama is, it's that Japanese like game for kids thing with like a wooden, like you probably just have to Google image search it. It's like a wooden, what is it? It's like a wooden thing with a ball attached to a string, and you hit it up in the, you kind of like put it. Quinn, can you put a kendama? Can you Google image search kendama and just put an image of one on the frickin', you know what I'm saying? Because I can't describe it, bro. It's just like a little toy. It's a little toy, but apparently this simple looking ball and cup game is actually an amazing toy for skill, exploration, expression, and much like Melee does infinite depth. And the only way to improve is to practice and have fun with it. There's also a friendly and supportive grassroots. Okay, so it's kind of like yo-yo, I think. I think it's kind of like yo-yo. I would believe you. I don't know anything about it having depth. So if people say it has depth, then more power to them. I don't know. Maybe, probably.
It's kind of hype, though.
Yeah, that's kind of hype. Yeah, this thing. Y'all seen this thing? Yeah. So you try to you throw it up, you like you're holding the wooden part, right? And you go up in the air and the ball goes up. You gotta catch the ball with the spike part of the wooden part. Is that,
okay,
that make sense?
Yeah,
that's
the
goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know. Neat. So I'm gonna have to look up Ken Dabba.
It looks like a pencil sharpener.
Yeah,
vaguely, yeah, or a gavel.
I was thinking
like
a gavel, yeah,
like a judge's gavel with like a little thing if the guy approaches the stand too quickly, you know, a little stab, a little bayonet.
The
that's cool.
Thing also looks like a chess piece. I've looked. This is just a combination of other things to me because I don't understand what it is.
I think they're like probably, I mean, they're probably centuries old. I'm going to just Google. I'm going to Wikipedia search it because I'm curious. Damn, how long have they? Oh, Wikipedia describes them as a skill toy. That's so, I didn't know the term.
That's hype.
I guess yo-yos are a skill toy, right?
Yeah, that sounds kind of condescending, though. I don't like skill toy. Yeah, skill, I guess Melee's a skill toy, vaguely. But
I'm here for that.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I got really, this is going to say, do you guys know what devil sticks are?
No.
No, but they sound devilish.
Yeah, they used to be really popular in, like, the mid-90s or, like, early 2000s or whatever. If you look them up, it's literally just two sticks with, like, a baton in between them. And I got really into this for like a summer for some reason. Yeah, but it's that kind of thing. It's like the same kind of sort of thing. And I think it's that's sort
of. Do people light them on fire? I just like I found an image of. I'm going to send it to Quinn. Quinn, put this image on the screen.
Probably.
This guy makes devil sticks look really cool. That's badass. Hopefully, I just sent it to our producer. Hopefully, he can put it on the screen. I can't really tell what he's doing, but it looks like some kind of, I see why they're called devil sticks. Hang on a minute.
Sure.
Yeah, I just found this on the Wikipedia page for Skill Toy. So I guess they're one of the primary skill toys. Look at this guy, dude.
Oh, there we go. Yep, that's it. That guy's clearly advanced. That guy's at level 99. Mine were never on fire, but yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Got it. And our last writer, Mr. Dr. Boy, two titles. Jiu-jitsu would be my choice for not only its physical benefits, but also to help you think clearly in stressful situations. It's so important to be able to breathe and slow the action down in your mind so you can make smart decisions, which I feel translates to melee. I mean, any combat sport is going to translate to fighting games.
Of course.
Also, like, melee jiu-jitsu is complex and very expressive. I'm sure it is. there's so many options, and I often find myself theory crafting submission setups like I would punish game flow charts. Oh. It's great for your body and mind. There's a progression system so you can see your progress, and it's fun. Yeah, jiu-jitsu does seem really cool. When I was getting into boxing and stuff, I kind of got into, you know, because there's obviously overlap. And my boxing coach was actually telling me that he wanted to learn jiu-jitsu. And, and I don't know, like, it does, yeah, I mean, it does seem neat. Like, I'm sure that there's a shitload of depth to it. And I'm also sure that you could just be really physically strong and that has an impact as well. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's get into our callers for the episode. We got a bunch of people lined up already. Again, some good questions. Just a reminder, if you want to submit a question, !! Radio Melee in chat. Our first caller of the day is going to be Punk, return caller and longtime Twitch chatter. What's up, Punk? And where are you calling in from today?
Hello, hello. I'm calling in from New England. And once again, I am here to talk about Project M. So nice. This is directed to Coney because I have heard him share many, many wonderful stories of like the experience of like just stuff that happens both at and while traveling to Smash events. So I know he's been through the dirt just to play these games. He's gone through everything.
Yeah.
So with the recent kind of like collapses and like withdrawals from sponsors and stuff, the Smash landscape has kind of been leaning back more on regionals than it has been majors. Like, I think the next Shine is going to be the last one, but regionals are getting more and more attention and attendees. Like, a few weekends ago, there was, like, three, like, different regionals with, like, top players at them, like, and I didn't know which one to watch. And something specific about regionals compared to majors is that P+ doesn't have to be hidden in the same way. It doesn't get like a shadow major for regionals. Like, it'll be on the same Start GG page. And I'm wondering if that could lead to like a bump in activity for P+, because that's something I've been hopeful about. And recently there was a Xanadu 500. I saw old and new names there. Like, I know Junebug, ResLive, and Hyperflame were all in attendance for P+ there. I thought that was crazy. I was like, oh my god, is this coming true? And I think, and there, that's not like a one-off. That's not just, there was also House of Pain. Like, I know Zamu won Melee there, but for P+, there's people like O'Reilly and Jank and Dirtboy who are all nasty at P+. And it's, you know, it's in the same venue. It's on the same Start GG page. It's not hidden. So I was wondering if Coney, with his experience with, you know, when things do and do not work and all the, you know, bullshit he's put up with to play Smash, if he thinks that that's like an upward trend or if that's not something that's going to be going on in the long term.
Sure. I think it's really difficult to say because I think as much of a split as there is sort of in the public consciousness between the competitive scene and, you know, Big Brother, right? Dad. It feels like I don't know how many TOs will still attach that in a very public-facing way to their event, and not because they don't want to support the game, but because we've seen what happens when they do, right? It not for the sake of hurting the game, but hurting the people that play the game. We've seen events get canceled a week before, and it's like, yeah, well, these people had their flights and hotels, and they've already booked all their stuff. I think for the sake of the competitive players, I don't know how much TOs will ever fully buy into that. Not because they don't want to, but I just think they might think it irresponsible, might be damaging. And I also think that there's, like, part of me feels like, and maybe this isn't like, maybe this is a tangent, but I feel like there's this weird thing that happens whenever people get mad at Nintendo and people like, it's like a teenager getting a tattoo. It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to have PM at my event. You can't tell me what to do. And it's like the game is used like a, it's almost puppeted around like, look what we're doing. Look at, and it's not out of support for the game. It's just trying to be, you know, it's trying
like
to
out
make,
of spite.
Yeah, it's trying to make a parent mad. And that kind of makes me mad because like,
well, how do the players feel about that, right? Because they don't want to be used that way.
A lot of them don't. A lot of them dislike it. But some of them, again, some of them are cool because they're like, oh, anything that gets a shine because it's it's a sick game. You know, I think a lot of people love the game and for good reason. In terms of like a long-term sort of a rising tide, it's hard to say because I think there is now a precedent for what will happen. Like the ceiling is there. You have a ceiling. And events might be, you know, tenuous to actually really promote something, or maybe the players won't be fully bought into it. I think it depends on how big a drought there is, because the reason that PM was so big is because Brawl was dead. Like, legitimately, it was gone. Ultimate is doing very well. Melee is doing very well. I think if P+ does have a resurgence, I wonder how many Melee players would be interested in the crossover, because now I don't know. I'm curious, because, like, back when PM had its first like big thing, there were names from both scenes going at it, and it was this really cool kind of merging of the universes. But now I feel like I don't know if people would still come over like
in the same way. Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because it really did feel like PM at that time was like this new undiscovered frontier. P+ coming back now, it's a fantastic game, but like a lot of people have already tasted that before. I don't know. It's hard to say. I would like Ultimate. To see it personally, but you know.
Right. I would like to see it too. That's a good point with the crossover thing. The funny thing is with Ultimate, and this oddly enough never happened with Brawler Smash 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the neat thing with Ultimate is that when Ultimate came out, there actually was crossover. Like, most of the Melee top players gave it a try for like a good bit.
Yes.
And like many of them actually stuck with it for a lot, like Plup and Leffen, and I mean Hungrybox.
Yeah, Wizrobe for sure too.
Wizrobe, yeah.
Armada played it a bunch too, yeah. So
I played it. Like I didn't really ever give Brawl or Smash 4 a try, but no, it's a great point. Like when Brawl was kind of ending, you know, there was a great Brawl player named DSS, aka Sho, who was top 100, I think, on the last Brawl rankings, SSB B rank.
Mm-hmm.
And the only game we ever played with each other was PM, because we were good friends, but I can't play Brawl with him or Smash 4 because he's a ridiculous NES player that whooped my office, and I don't play those games.
Sure.
And he can't really fight me in Melee.
It's a good middle.
But
game,
in PM,
yeah.
we met in the middle, and we were very even in PM. So it was like, oh, we have a game we can play with each other. We're very competitive. And that was definitely one of the draws to it. And we became pretty good friends kind of through that. So it's a good point. And I guess I agree with Cody's sentiment that it's tough to tell, because I think that we're in a, you know, PM's in a good spot right now. But for these events that are even events that are regionals today, and I guess this is where it's kind of a wait and see thing for me, is that like you look at a tournament series like the Big House, where Big House started as a regional. But you know, it really depends on the TOs and kind of what they want their tournament series' trajectory to be, because, you know, for a lot of tournaments that start as regionals, some of them might want to become majors, some of them might want to scale. Battle of BC this year for the first time is operating in a convention center instead of at a college. Right. So, you know, the natural progression for some of these events is if they get bigger, you know, they will eventually become the sorts of events that, you know, like you said, PM would be running a Shadow Major for. So, but at the same time, maybe in that path and maybe in this with the spot that the scene is in right now, maybe enough people are captured by the fact that there are going to be a bunch of tournaments where, I don't know, like you said, like maybe PM is there and it's on the Star GG page and it's the same event and people can just enter it. And maybe some people stick with it. And I know people are still, I don't know, P+ is still being developed. It's still like kind of this active thing. So, you know, maybe there is a bump or a surge. I don't know how big it's going to be. But yeah, maybe there's something there. But yeah, time will tell.
Gonna have to earn it. Yeah.
Gonna have to earn it. Yeah. But it's it's a fun game to you know, I went to the PM Theater last year, which was basically like a invitational for PM, and there were a bunch
of it's like the summit.
Right, right. And there are a bunch of ridiculous players there. I mean, it is a really cool scene for sure, and it's an awesome game. With a lot of I played a bunch of friendlies with Junebug's Diddy Kong, and that was miserable.
Not fun. No.
Not fun. Yeah, there's not like a peanut time. Coming at you, and there's a banana coming at you, and then there's like a monkey coming at you behind those two food items, and it's tough. It's real
miserable.
Tough. Miserable. But yeah, anyway, it's an awesome game, and you know, I do always kind of wish the best of that community, because it's a group of people too. So thank you for your question, Punk.
Definitely.
Yeah. Any shout outs you want to do?
Yeah, I got two of them. One is just a shout out to collectively Stock Money, G-Town Tom, and Motobug, three wonderful tournament organizers for Melee and PM in Massachusetts. And also shout out to, this is a bit of a weird one, but the Brawl Minus community. I've been getting way more into that game with 5.0. They added Ridley, wow. And that it's weird. But I've been getting into that, and they've been super down to like explain all sorts of like wild stuff, no matter how long it takes to like get it across to me. So that's been a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, Minus rules. Enjoy and have a good rest of your day.
All right. Take care, fellas.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. We have Owlahoop. Hello, Owlahoop. Where are you calling in from? What's your question for us today, gamer?
Yo, what's good? I'm calling in from New Jersey, about like 20 minutes out of Philly. Mm-hmm. My question is, how do we increase cross-pollination between Smash titles? More talking Melee Ult, those are obviously the big ones right now. But going from Melee to Ult, like, you guys have played a lot of Smash. I mean, I'm 30, I've played a lot of Smash too, but played a lot of Smash is Smash, right? You go from Melee to Ult, not the biggest change. You go from Ult to Melee, completely different. If it's your first title especially, there's a lot of things to help you in Ultimate. There's a lot of buffering. There's short hop macros. There's tons of other things. So I was curious to, you know, how do you guys think we could increase the amount of players playing both?
Donkey Kong. I'll save Melee. I'll be the one. I'll get the Melee. I don't know. The way I've always thought of it is, I think Ultimate is in a lot of ways sort of a gateway drug into Melee. Obviously, it's not something that will always be, like, not everybody's going to be into it. But I always think, the way that I think about the scene is, like, you want to cast the widest net possible with the new game, because that's what everybody's looking at. And then they see it, and they're like, oh, this is really cool, this is sick. But can I cuss on this podcast? I don't want to.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Fox doing over there? Like, yeah. They're watching Ultimate, and then they see Melee. They're like, oh my god, that's so fast. And I think that, like, Melee, I think that it represents this really cool spot where it's like, all right, I kind of like Ultimate, but let me give this other game a try. And then it's like crack, right? To some, if your brain is wired a certain way, you love it. Yeah. But I think
that's what happened to me.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's super powerful. So my vision has always been, like, you really push the big game, and then Melee will get people into it just sort of naturally, organically, because, like, it's something that really does appeal to a certain type of person. I think it's hard to say, like, how you get crossover, because, like, you can't really force it, right?
Right.
I think people will try what they want to try. I think the accessibility of Melee is an issue if you're unfamiliar, because, like, now you can get it on your PC pretty quickly and it'll run on anything. But if you're like, oh, I need a Wii or a GameCube, it's like, well, it's $200, $300, whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just like a knowledge check there. But I think it's, in a perfect world, everybody plays everything, but I think that people really will have their preferences, right?
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, what we have in Smash that, you know, I think we talk about sometimes in the program, and I think we don't want to take for granted, is star power. And I think, you know, having shows like this where, you know, we have representatives from different communities hanging out, I think is good because people are pulled in because they're like, oh, I want to hear what Coney has to say or and talk about in this different environment. And people from Melee might be like, okay, well, this is a different take. And so what do we, how does this connect? And so I think, you know, and content like that happening together you know, maybe orgs, for example, have a role to play too, or they could sign players across multiple Smash titles or something. I think there's a lot of potential for that type of collaboration as well. Beyond that, yeah, I think Coney pretty much nailed a lot of what I could have said about it. I don't know if there's much more you want to add, Tove.
No, yeah, it's kind of a lot of what's already happening where you put the game, you put both games in front of the same eyeballs because they're at the same events, and you know, people naturally, like, everyone knows. Every Melee player knows who MKLeo and Spargo and players like that are, and every ult player knows who Zane and Jaymook and stuff, right? You just kind of end up, you're watching a top 8, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, here's the next top 8, and you leave the Twitch stream going. And then maybe, you know, the way I got into Melee was I went to a Brawl tournament in 2008. It was actually a pre-release Brawl tournament because someone got a hold of a Japanese copy, and there was one, someone brought a CRT in the corner, and Vish, of all people, who I met at that tournament, and a bunch of other people who played Melee at my college were in the corner on a CRT playing doubles. And so between the rounds of this Brawl event I was at, I was like, dude, that looks really fun. They're having a really good time. And so I kind of just like started playing because I was like, I didn't realize people were going to keep playing this game. If I did know that, maybe I would have started playing sooner. So yeah, I think that's kind of all you can do. And I think to a certain degree, like... yeah, the accessibility thing is huge. I think the fact that it's easier to get, like literally just physically easier to play now than it was a couple years ago is really big. And I think that's why you see, like, even when, you know, I've always kind of felt like the past couple years, like even when it feels like, for example, there have been periods where I'm like, oh, is Melee viewership on the decline? But then I go on Slippy and there's like a gazillion players online at all times. Like, I, you know, if you're in America, you basically never have to wait longer than a couple seconds to get a match, it feels like. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing where I think it's cool that what we have going for us is that people will just kind of play it. And old school people, even people who don't go to tournaments anymore and don't like really seem like they're keeping up with the competitive community, they'll still be on Slippy at DGen hours for whatever reason. So there's kind of this, like, you kind of have this... reassurance that like the game will kind of probably just always be there. Like there's always going to be people playing it, even if we're all boomers and we're all like 40, 50 years old, like probably people are still playing it to a certain degree. And I think people appreciate that. I appreciate the, like, I like knowing that if I get better at this game, it's probably still going to be around for me in some capacity down the line. So sure. Yeah, you know, but yeah, I think basically that's kind of where I'm at on it. And I love the cross-pollination idea, though. I think to a certain degree it does already happen. And I will say, I think I kind of already alluded to this earlier with, like, you know, the way a lot of top Melee players gave Ultimate a chance for quite a while. Melee Ultimate is doing a much better job than Melee Brawl or Melee Smash 4
did. That was something I actually wanted to bring up was,
yeah,
you know, there's
we
still,
were
I
so
think,
bad at this back then.
And yeah. There was a lot of hate back then, and I do think that some of that still continues into today. And I mean, even, you know, I learned at some point that there was some bitterness on the Brawl side after Melee got into Evo. And so So, you know, and the one unit thing and everything. So I'm sure there's still a lot there. But regardless of that, I think there's still kind of hate, you know, from a lot of, you know, especially Twitch chats on both sides. So I'd really like to hear your take about that situation, Coney.
Oh, dude, I'm a Brawl player. I still have a chip on my shoulder, if I'm being honest. Like, I think that, and it's not toward people who are, how do I put this? It's generally speaking, not toward people who are high up in the community. Cause I think that, like, most thoughtful people who made it, who got very far in any community, have the sort of understanding that like succeeding at any game is difficult. Any right. level of high level PvP competition is difficult.
Right.
But
it's just how it is.
But I think in Melee and Brawl, because the games were esports was not even a thing, you had a lot more sort of players that, how do I put this? Our biggest majors were like 250 people. So you could get 13th mm-hmm. and be considered a top player, even if you weren't smart or good or a good I don't know how to put this. What I'm trying to get across is like the hatred back and forth was coming from like people who I think were top players for the time because the skill disparity was so small. Mm-hmm. Now the majors are hitting 1K, 2K. It's like a lot of people at the top sort of understand and have a healthy respect for the people that play other games that are like, all right, well, I know how hard it was to get where I am. Imagine how hard it is on the other side. There's not really a discussion about how Melee is like the real game as much anymore. Ultimate obviously has a lot different skill set, but it rewards different sorts of play styles and skill sets and abilities. But I definitely was part of that Brawl group that like, it was frustrating because there was this like, it's all video games at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
It's legit. It's Mario fighting Pikachu. Why you got to stick up your ass, right? It was frustrating. I think the one unit thing rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because it felt like Brawl tried to give Melee the shine that Melee deserved, but Melee didn't give it back. But that said, I'm not saying that the Brawl community was blameless, right? Clearly not. Like, there are a lot of people that were sort of toxic on the other end, too. I do think that it's a lot better with Ultimate. I do wonder, not, and maybe this is the cynic in me, and it's not like you guys or many people up there, but I do wonder, like, I wondered early on, like, how much of this is, like, the money angle, right? I remember that Smash 4 Invitational, and Nintendo invited a bunch of Melee people, and they were like, oh, this is sick, this is great. And then they got home, they're like, wow, that game was dog shit. I hated Smash 4. This game's awful. I want another Melee. It's like, well, dude... Come on.
You could have just invited Brawl players and they would have liked it.
Yeah. And it was mostly Melee people, which I think was fine, but it was like, I think that there was more of that back then, and it's like, okay, well now Ultimate is a career opportunity, especially early on for Melee people, so we're gonna play nice because there's money there. So the cynic in me always wondered that, but at the end of the day, who really cares? It doesn't matter what people's intentions are. What matters is like helping each other, trying to grow, being there for each other in terms of communities, not having that sort of division. So I don't know. I think it's, I do think that was there at the time, but I do think, like you said, it's a lot healthier now, which is good. There's a heavy level of respect for people on all ends, which I think is like, I'm glad we've gotten to that point. And again, I do, and I don't mean to like ramble too much. I think a lot of it too is like, the general perception of Smash as a competitive game has broadened across the board. People used to think Smash like could never do this, could never be played competitively, or shouldn't, right? You had the casual elitist mentality.
Right, it's a party game.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of gone now for the most part, which is like, I don't know. That rising tide sort of lifted both boats, which is nice, so.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a really good point.
The only other thing I wanted to add while we were talking about cross-pollination, and this is going to be really short. When I was at Summit, I really got into the 64 mod. I forget what it's called, but Remix. Oh my God, it's so fun. And I think there's something too, and maybe this is the answer to cross-pollination. I don't know. I think Melee's perception, and I've actually talked with you about this, Toph, and I left you a comment on one of your videos once. I think Melee's perception as this like super hardcore competitive esport might harm it in terms of the casual audience. Cause like I sat down, I saw Conker. I was like, oh, sick. What's Wolf like in 64? What's Bowser like? What is Ganondorf doing here? Melee's casual options. Yeah, dude. It's just so weird.
Like,
I feel
this,
like
and this fucking guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kept unlocking new people. Like Metal Mario's in the game, but like, I feel like Melee, in terms of the casual aspect, is... I don't know how you really push it. I know a lot of people do All-Star Mode, which is kind of that, but Melee, I think it's casual offerings or like surprising people with new stuff is kind of low, but if you can get people in that and get your hooks in them, I think they will be into it. It's just,
that's a good point.
How do you do that? I think there's a lot of fun ways to do that in other games, but Melee's
the community was doing that for a bit. I think the best example of this in recent years was like the Akane build with volleyball. Because volleyball was a craze when that came out. It was like 2 years ago, right? Like everyone was up their volleyball tournaments and people were like, oh shit, this is like a whole new meta. Like, and Falco was fucking broken. But it was like, it was crazy. People were coming up with like volleyball setups. And it was like, and you know, it was like, but largely 2v2, and it was like really fun. And I mean, I know the Akanea team is still active, and they're doing stuff like that. So no, it's a really good point. Where I think that is part of the fun of Smash games in particular is like at the end of the day, or the beginning of the day, I suppose, it's this crossover fighter with Nintendo characters. And I mean, nowadays there's Sephiroth and Solid Snake and all this stuff, but when Smash first came out, it was like, holy shit, Mario and Pikachu are in the same game. That was a mind-blowing thing at the time. So, I definitely think there's something really, you know, people always ask, like, could such and such platform fighter get really big? And it's like, well, yes, but you got to remember, I think a big part of the reason people got into Smash in the first place was that it is, at the end of the day, Smash, and it's this Nintendo product, and people like those, just love those characters. It's a really good point. I guess it's like, at the end of the day, someone's got to work on it. Like, if you're going to talk about, like, things like Remix, it's like, well, someone's got to bring those characters over. Like, someone's got to do the modding, which is hard. Like, I can't do it.
I will say, because I was on the, when we were coming up with stuff for the, you know, the Panda stuff, I was pretty deep into the creative on the event stuff. And I was like, okay, how do we get people's, I've had a few times where I've gotten hooked on Melee where I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. And I had an idea at the Panda Cup finale, which obviously didn't happen. But what I wanted to do was introduce something where it was like, play Melee, beat this thing and win a prize, t-shirt, maybe a sponsor thing. And it wasn't that hard. It was like level 9, Ganondorf or something. But the idea is an ultimate player, because we were the event was going to have free entry and a lot of foot traffic. So it's like, let me try this. Like, let me just try Melee. I've seen it a lot. Let me give it a shot. And some people are going to do that and they'll be like, oh my God, this is so clunky. I hate this. Where's the buffer? Right. Whatever. But some people are going to be like, ooh, they'll lose to the Ganon, but they'll be like, wait a minute. And then they go home and they download it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So like, I think just getting people to play the game is the biggest way to get them to go. And I think in Melee, ultimately, it's the biggest challenge, unfortunately, because it's hard to sell people on a 20-year-old, you know, in many people's minds, like hyper-competitive, sweaty esport. So
Right. That can be discouraging.
No, I mean, a lot of really good points. I actually took a moment while you were talking to write down for something I can talk about to people eventually, the stuff about hooks, because I thought that was really brilliant. I hadn't really thought about it that way before. So, I mean,
I did see that question. I think I made another video. I made a separate video on it where I talked about that for a while. So if people, I mean, this was a while ago, but if people want to go check that out, it's on my channel somewhere where I think Coney's in the thumbnail. Just look for Coney in the thumbnail. It's a great question. I think there's some good discussion there. Anyway, there's a lot there, Owl Hoop. Really, really great question. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any shout-outs on your... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I know we shut off the questions. I felt bad because I kind of rambled for a little bit, but I did see it's one, if I could just shout this out really quick, because it's a quick answer. Hostile Chicken said, is it possible for a modern fighting game to outlive its predecessor like Melee? Does Ultimate have a chance of outliving the next Smash game? No shot. There is no world. We will move on. I don't see any world where Ultimate exists past Smash 6, unless they really mess up, but I don't think that happens. I think the way of the world is Melee is forever, and the Brawl sort of lineage will always move on in much the way that like modern fighting games do, just straight up.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, like the reason Melee like lived on or whatever was because Brawl was super different. It's just a very different game. And then, you know, I would say the changes from Brawl to Smash 4 and Ultimate are smaller iterations. The only way I feel like Ultimate lives on is if the next Smash game is radically different, like radically, radically different. And people go, I like Ultimate better. Yes. I don't know. Maybe they literally like force you to play with spirits or whatever, or they make it, you know, they do something like it's a total departure. Like the way like Guilty Gear Strive was different than the previous Guilty Gears. Like there's a wall you can break now. It's like, you know, things of that nature. Like the mechanics are completely different.
Final Smash has to be on. And you're like, oh,
Final Smash has to be on. Exactly. It's something completely different. It's a radical departure. Then people might go, I actually really like Ultimate. Ultimate had all the characters. Maybe the next Smash game, they take a completely different approach. Sakurai's not the director anymore because he retired or whatever. And they scale down the cast. It's 20 characters again. It's like much smaller. You know, and the people who go, well, I really wanted to play Sephiroth or Pyramithra or whatever, and they're
I'm gonna
keep playing Ultimate. That's the only way I see it happening. But yeah, that's also a good question.
Yeah, well said. Well said on both counts. Owlahoop, thank you so much for calling in and inspiring a lot of good discussion. Any shout outs for us on your way out today?
I just wanted to mention, I think there's a really good content creation space available right now for people looking for a Ultimate to Melee perspective, learning Melee from an Ultimate perspective, and I think that's really interesting. Shout outs to Peeps, ruined me last week, and shout outs to Hungrybox, he does it all.
Shout outs to Hungrybox, yeah, I'm down.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Always
have a good one.
Thanks, take care.
All right. So we are pushing your time constraint pretty heavily here. So really quickly, Mr. Coney, thank you so much. It's been a great discussion. You've been wonderful with your insight. And so all we have left is to ask you for your community voice, the question that only you can ask our YouTube audience. Do you know what you would like to ask, sir?
Yeah. So one of the things that always fascinated me, and I'm sure maybe that's presumptuous, but I'm pretty sure you guys could relate to this. Playing competitive Smash really changed my sort of outlook on, I don't want to say life as a whole, but it really taught me so many skills that I didn't really have before that. And I think the biggest one for me is like, this is sort of a general fighting game question where it's like the accountability aspect of like, okay, well, it's your fault. If you're not winning, it's your fault. What are you going to do? Are you going to change character? Whatever. I would like to know in your fighting game journey, in your competitive Smash journey, is there anything that you've learned from Smash, not like a hard skill, right? Not like I've learned how to use box, or I know how to do wavelands or whatever, but like, are there any soft or psychological skills that you've picked up that have sort of helped you in your everyday life? I think that's a really interesting
good question.
It's a good question.
I think that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. I could definitely think of stuff. I'm very curious to see what people say.
I know that's a long one. I hope that's I hope we can condense it.
That's
part great.
Of course. Yeah. That's part of the course.
Sometimes people ask two questions. It's a whole mess. So that's okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is great. Thank you. That's a wonderful question. I'm looking forward to seeing the answers to that. But right now, Coney's got many content things to do. We didn't end up getting to talk about that too much, but we could always have him back again. For now, though, thank you so much, Toph, for holding it down, bringing your insight. And, of course, Coney, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time and wisdom with us today.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. We'd love to do it again anytime. Yeah. Seriously.
Awesome.
We'll be in touch.
Maybe Hell we yeah. will. Hopefully We'd we will. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, watching, listening, all that good stuff. We will be back a week from today. But for now, this is Radio Melee signing out.